remember, he had an improbable turn that made him president, and we were in the middle of a pandemic and an economic crash. He healed our sick and put the rest of us back to work. And he strengthened our alliances for peace and security. He stood up for Ukraine. He's trying desperately to get a ceasefire in the Middle East. And then he did something that's really hard for a politician to do. He voluntarily gave up political power.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Enough said.
Let's speak to our friend Tyrus. He's a regular on Gutfeld, Fox News contributor as well. You need to check out his latest book. It's called Nuff Said, and you should check it out, buy it, read it, and read it again. Tyrus, welcome back to the show. You got to be watching some of this convention because I see you on Gutfeld after the fact.
Yeah, I have to watch all of it.
It's hard. It's hard to do.
I think you have to look at it from the perspective of it was their day. And it's their week, and I tried to find a few things that try to find some common ground. And honestly, the only ones that, you know, Bill Clinton's going to be Bill Clinton. He's always been a great communicator. Even Father Time has even took its toll on him a little bit, but yeah. he can still have it. Barack can still, you know, he can do a speech, man. And I think I had forgotten what it was like to hear Democrats speak clearly.
Yeah.
So when I, you know, the problem was I was hoping to hear what the plan was, but I think that they're going with the it's just no to Trump is their entire platform. So it was what I thought it would be, and it still continues to be. There's no fact checking afterwards or analysts afterwards. I think this is their moment. I think it's funny that they can't get their story straight on, did he give it away? Was he asked to give it away? Was he told to give it away? Mm-hmm. You know, they try to make him out to be a hero, and then they bury him at the same time. So, I think it's telling. I think the disorganization, the all of a sudden the country music and being white is cool again. I guess that's good for white Americans who have been basically for the last
We've been waiting for a while.
10 years have been 10 years. The most worst thing in the world was a white person. So I think it's funny that they're coming full circle. Because all of a sudden, white men, they apparently need them now. And hunting is cool. So I'm learning a lot of, wow. So,
Do you believe it, though? I mean, it's not even genuine from where I'm sitting. It doesn't feel real at all.
Well, I mean, none of it is. But I think if you're watching from a group, like it's just like watching film on the opposing football team, you know, and you see their strengths and their weaknesses. And for me, it seems like their entire platform is about creating this fear around abortion. And that seems to be the entire core of their whole campaign, their whole message, is that if you vote for Donald Trump, you won't be able to get an abortion. And you know, and I think that's what they're running on. So if looking at this, if I was on the Republican strategist team, I would have a real sit down and be like, If the Republican Party agreed to restore Roe versus Wade, what would they have to run on? Mm. You know, and you want to bring in the independent women, and you want to, like, we've all grown up as Roe v. Wade is the law of the land, and whether you liked it or didn't like it, it was consistent. And if you're right to life, you're going to feel a certain way, and if you're this, that, whatever. But at least it was not on a front issue on the election, because people voting off that myth that they're trying to create, because state to state, I personally don't think a man should ever tell a woman what to do with her body. I mean, I can't even tell them what to cook. You know what I'm saying? So it's like in my house, I'd be like, I want this for that. And you're not getting that. You're going to have this, or your sorry self can make it, you know, yourself. And we know what I'm like in the kitchen. So,
You know, Tyrus, what I really wish that the Republican Party would do, and I am unapologetically pro-life. I think life begins at conception. I also realistically understand, as somebody who lives in the state of Illinois, that post the overturning of Roe v. Wade, Illinois has become a destination for abortion. There's two things Pritzker likes to champion, and that's abortion and pot.
Right.
And that's why people come. Anybody with common sense leaves the state of Illinois. But what Republicans have missed the mark on, and the abortion is the biggest issue in my mind, but this translates to other things too, is that abortion is a cultural issue. These women feel helpless. They think that their choice, that they only have one choice. They're made to feel that way. And we should, as Republicans, as good people, be helping these women without waiting on someone to win an election to solve this problem, because the next person who wins the next election can undo it. We've got to change a culture.
Exactly. And I think that, but I also think sometimes you have to take a step back to get somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you take that away, what do they have to run against us on? They have no policy. She can't articulate it. You saw the disaster that it was, her economic plan. So again, in terms of trying to win the election, because that's all they're trying to do, is win the election by convincing us that Trump is Hitler. Well, if quote their version of Hitler gives them what they want in terms of, if I'm elected, we will revisit Roe v. Wade, and maybe we'll put Roe v. Wade back in. Here, we're giving a concession, and then come back to it and try to find some common ground. I think if even extending this is going to change a lot of minds, in terms of it will destroy their narrative and they're banking on. You know, the Republican Party is unified. We more than anyone know what the last 3.5 years are like. And it's not going to be, in my opinion, and again, it's my opinion, and again, I'm not a genius. I didn't pass the bar, but I know a little something about life. But in my opinion, I think that would take away all of their manipulative power when he's like, okay, that's what you want. You got it.
Yeah. It's definitely.
What else would you argue about in terms of the election? But it's the issue that no matter what happens, because President Trump is a man, and because whatever he says is going to be wrong, because it doesn't matter. You know, even if you're like, well, let's do it like Europe does, and, you know, 16 weeks or whatever. Again, I don't ever want to tell a woman what to do with her body, because I talked about it in my book. You know, I've said there's a chapter where I talk about abortion through a man's perspective and what it's like on our side of it, looking at it. And again, it comes back to no one was happy in that office. No one. There was no one smiling. No one would even make eye contact. Everyone was going through their own personal health. Even if they were making the right decision, what they felt was best for them, they're still going to live with that decision. They're going to have days when they'll be like, man, I wonder if I would have, you know what I'm saying? That's just human nature. And to try to turn it into a fun thing, to me, is disgusting, because it's not. No one goes in there with if you go in there with a smile on your face, you have some serious issues. You talk, you know, because that's not what it's about. You know, it's a really tough decision. And for those people who had their dignity taken away by rape or incest or a medical thing, like, it shouldn't even be an issue, you know. But again, it goes back to wanting common ground and seeing, you know, people, you know, running around the streets talking about, you know, you go to McDonald's to stop off and get an abortion. I mean, they're full of it. And nobody is, again, it's one of those things where nobody's clean, and you got to live with that decision. And there's going to be buyer's remorse. And so the argument would be, well, don't do it in the first place. But again, we want to be a free country. We want people to make their own decisions in life. And there's consequences, and you have to live with that. And I think that might be a better winning strategy for the Republican Party at this point, because that's what will, I think, bring independent women and moderate women to the table. I really believe in. And we need them to win. We're vastly outnumbered.
Tyrus, you know,
again, this is my sense.
I was just saying, I think that it's a conversation that people aren't willing to have at all. And I think that one of the things that the left has so successfully done has made people on the right side of the aisle afraid to speak up on really tough issues, because then it becomes so combative. It's just easier to stay quiet. And so the left wins every argument that the other side doesn't show up to even have. And
exactly.
To your point about what does the Democratic Party have? As much as I felt like shock therapy sitting there and watching these speeches over and over and over again at the DNC this week, at the end of it, I actually felt a little refreshed and renewed, because they really don't have anything. They need to invoke emotion from you. And as long as they feel like they can pull your heartstrings in the direction they need, that, I mean, it's really all they're even trying to do.
They're a party of feelings. And it feels like reality has nothing to do with anything. They feel like the economy is good. They feel like, you know, and a great point was made, and I can't remember his name, but, you know, 12 of the last 16 years has been a Democratic in the White House.
Yeah.
So, you know, but for them to not take any, to bear any responsibility says volumes, which means that they don't see a problem, which means Nothing is going to change. There's not going to be a new platform with Kamala. She's going to do what she was told, like she was doing what she was told during the thing. The question is the people who are running and calling these super progressive policies, with Kamala, we will still not know who's writing that notebook. Mm. You know, and I think if America is okay with that, then it's going to be, you know, 4 more years of that. And I really, really, here's the thing. I don't, when John McCain and Barack Obama, when they ran, either way, your differences of opinion, differences of policy, but you could live with either one. You know, Romney, Obama, same thing. You might not get everything you want, but it's not, there's no extremes in terms of what the platforms were during the election. What happened afterwards is a different story. What we're seeing now is that there's no platform for us to even say, well, that's one good thing that if the Democrats win that we can play in our favor. They literally won't tell us a thing that they're doing because they're not going to change a thing. The Bernie Sanders, socialist, Marxist, progressive party is getting their way. They're getting their things. The only thing they didn't count on was Americans woke up and two of the squad are gone.
Yeah.
And possibly more going forward. So Americans are going to have to make that change. But again, I think they would prefer people to vote against Hitler than vote for their policies because they have none.
Tyrus, what do you expect to hear, see from Kamala tonight? Is she going to be?
It'll be short and sweet and very controlled. I don't. So was Walz's. You know, I laughed myself when I saw the coach walk. Volunteer assistant D-line coach. I don't really feel you get to call yourself coach. You know, like there's
are you trying to remember who all your volunteer D-line assistant coaches were in your football
career?
They were usually
team dads. So yeah. They were volunteers. They only there a couple days a week. And they were there to help out with like getting the D-linemen ready and stuff. It's not like the NFL where they're, you know, film study and breaking down technique. Did he teach technique to the D-line? You know, I'd love to see footage of that. But again, with him, we have to just take him at his word at this point. And it hasn't been a very good, very good word so far, you know. So, but again, it just comes down to feelings and all of a sudden, you know, being white from the Midwest is cool again. I think that's the one good thing I took from it because I really feel, especially white men, have been just blamed for everything. Trash. They can't even speak their mind nor defend themselves. And it's really very reminiscent of when you look at the history books of the 50s and how black men were treated in this country. And we're seeing very similar things in terms of we don't have the days of the lynching, the violence, but we do have a lot of violence against white people in America. And it's always, they're white. So it's good to see at least they're going to at least lean up on that, take the knee off white America's neck in terms of blaming them for every problem and saying how they shouldn't be here and, you know, wanting them replaced in every position. And there's nothing worse than white men. And so I found it hilarious that all of a sudden it's cool again. Camouflage is now okay.
Yeah.
Don Jr. shoots a lion in a hunting ranch. You know, he should be burned at the stake. If Walz does it, he should get a trophy. That's another thing. I didn't realize you got trophies for hunting. So
you just get the kill, I thought.
Yeah, I didn't know when you shot the deer, a bear walked out of the woods, and here you go, sir, for your...
Have you ever been a dad coach, Tyrus? I know you've coached, but
no,
have you ever coached your kids?
I was the offensive line coach for Snoop's youth football team, but I was voted coach of the year by the entire league for the work that I did with the kids on the field and off the field. So, you know, look... But as far as me coaching my own kids, no, that's something that I would never do. I'm too close to it. And my job is to be there to support them.
Mm-hmm.
And my son, who is starting to get that football itch or whatever, my job is to be there when he has a bad game, when he comes to me to ask me questions. But to coach my son, I think I'd just be too close to it if I'm being totally honest.
Yeah,
and
self-aware.
I was a very blunt, direct coach. And I don't want it to be an awkward, silent car ride home when you know, Dad, did you really said if, you know, like if I put my brain in a bird and fly backwards, did you mean that? You know, because you say you can so organize to get, you know what I'm saying? You got to be, I was an old school,
yeah.
I built, the last game that I coached We were coaching against Mike Allstart and those guys in Florida, and their kids were a year older than my kids, and they were way bigger than my kids. And my kids were a little nervous, and I said, listen, you have helmets on and shoulder pads on, and I know how to cheat. So here's what we're going to do. The first play, I want you to call him any name you can think of and pick a fight with him.
Oh,
and they were like, why? Three times our size. I said, yes, but you're going to use your pads and helmet as protection. Just go turtle. And while he's trying to whoop on you, the running back's going to run by you. And guess what? He's going to get tired. Hold him. Pull him out. We'll take the flags in the first quarter. Bully them. Like, make these guys who are thinking they're just going to run through you. And it worked. And by the third quarter, they were exhausted. And then we started, we ran the ball down their throat, and we beat them. And I remember one of the parents goes, I was ready to pull my child until I saw what you did worked.
Mm.
I was like, yeah, sometimes you have to motivate young men and tell them things. But coaching is styles and things like that. But the kids will tell you about it.
Yeah.
The kids speak resume. I still get calls from my kids I coached and stuff like that. So I find when you call me, but I would never call myself the head coach of Snoop's Youth Football League. Or the offensive coordinator, or the general manager of the league.
There are big things in your future, Tyrus. You have no idea what you can do with that kind of
clout. I couldn't coach because I was coached directly by alpha men, and athletes are different now. And I don't think I would relate. There's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in football. There's no whining, and there's no questioning either. Like, I never said to my coach, "Hey, I'm triggered when you say the F
word." What would have happened?
Triggered, he would have been like, oh, well, let's get you out of here. I'm triggered to pull your scholarship. So, again, it's like when you hear somebody say those things, there's just stuff. He just doesn't come across genuine at all, I think. And he seemed to be – he has more fond memories talking about China, and that's not a shot. I'm just saying he just – but he won't talk about that on the stage. But yet there's so many documented evidence of him – praising that, but yet he won't talk about it, which makes you kind of raise your eyes. You spent that much in China and understanding that you should be an ally in terms of knowing their moves and their stuff, but we never hear that. We always, we always spoke so fondly of it. And with China, you're either surveillance or you're a part of it. So it's very eyebrow raising to me that as much information is out there about his time teaching in China and everything, that he has nothing to speak on in terms of policy, and like no one knows how to deal with it. I was there. I saw it. I saw the way that people were treated. I saw this and that, whatever. You never hear that. So that concerns me a little bit.
Tyrus, were you part of the I watched the Netflix special years ago on Snoop's Football League. Are you in that?
I think I was gone from then when they did that.
Okay.
But we were always, there was always cameras around.
It was a really, I mean, I learned a lot about what he was doing, and the amount of respect that I earned for Snoop Dogg for what he was doing with that footlock.
He basically owns a school bus to drive the kids to and from school and practice so moms don't have to. He lowers the cost of playing football. Like, if you have two kids playing football in a family or three, you're only paying for one registration.
Yeah.
Like, he loses money every year on it, and he doesn't care. Mm. You know, it's not, and not only that, like, they aren't the Pomona Pirates. You know, he literally worked to get the licensing so he could call the team's NFL team. So when and have the same jerseys the teams do. So when these kids step on the field, they are pros as they feel. The whole point is to build up their confidence and let them feel about. But it's not about pushing their career in football. It's about teaching them the importance of education, of being on time, showing up, pride in your work. And when you do those things, good things happen, and you feel good about yourself. And young men, especially, and these days, need that type of, especially when they're young and there isn't a father present in the home, or the parents are working, or worse than that, you have parents who care more about Facebook and TikTok than spending time with their kids. That's where athletes and coaches are really important. But coaches aren't parents. They're trying to build them to be able to compete in the world, on the field and off the field. And he just doesn't strike me. And again, I've never had a conversation with him, but based off my observations and my research and looking into him, I just don't see those qualities in him. I see a person who will tell you whatever you want to know. He's everybody's friend, and anybody who knows me in wrestling knows when somebody's everybody's friend, I'm the first one to say I don't like him. And they're like, why, Cyrus? I'm like, because if you're everybody's friend, you're nobody's friend.
Yeah, it's real.
Like, and that's real as it gets.
Well, I appreciate all the insight there, and I really would encourage people to learn more about that Snoop Dogg Football League. I'm glad you were able to talk about that.
I appreciate you not bringing up last week. your name was besmirched, and I just want you to know that I had nothing to do with it. I was
okay.
I was appalled.
Okay.
It was several times when he was talking about, like, he's the star of the show and this is how the real things. I did not want any part of that. I was I was really concerned with the besmirchment. There was a lot of outcries online, and I was glad that I was not blamed in any of it. But for the record, and I'm sure he's sitting there with his mouth open right now. That's right. I'm dropping dime, bro. You were completely out of line. And, you know, I think it's great that you allow him to even be in there based off his behavior. It just shows that
you
are forgiving, and it's about do your job. But, you know, you might want to rethink the next time you call out that guy, because you get a little power in his head, he just loses his mind.
Conversations are going to be had now. Yes, I appreciate
that. Yeah, I mean, he wanted to change the intro music to focus more on him and his accomplishments. He was talking about better ways to raise your kids. He was completely out of line.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for the details, Tyrus. Yeah, I can count on you. Yeah. I know I can.
Yeah, well, I was appalled. I just want to say I was appalled.
I appreciate it.
I only went along to get information.
Okay. I appreciate it. Tyrus, hang in there tonight watching Kamala Harris. We'll be watching Gutfeld as well. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, we finally beat the Astros in a series, so I'm happy.
No, I don't even know. The Cardinals. Oh, Arnaldo did walk off last night in extras.
Yeah, walk off last night. Yeah, yes. You can't complain. It was a nice shot.
Oh, we're complaining. But
yeah.
Not about last night.
No.
Thanks,
That's
Tyrus.
That's all you can do.
Take care. Bye-bye. Our friend Tyrus, a regular on Gutfeld, Fox News contributor, and his book, Nuff Said. Go read it. I really appreciate his conversation there, especially about the abortion issue. I disagree with him on certain parts of it, but I think we have different reasons for coming together in the middle and agreeing in the end. And those conversations are important to have. Went a little bit long there with him, but it's Tyrus, and he gets the time when he gives us the time. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get Mr. Ryan Wiggins back in studio. Don't go away.
I had 24 kids in my high school class, and none of them went to Yale.
Okay.
That's a weird brag.
I know. I don't know why, but I don't remember who it was. I retweeted them, but they're like, weird flex. And every time I scrolled past that tweet last night, I laughed out loud some more, because it is. Like, what else did you all not do?
Not a one of them made six figures.
Did he misspeak? Like, did
no?
Was there? You know how you can say something and in your head it makes sense, and it still makes sense in the words that you say, but it could also be interpreted in a different. I mean, I was trying to dig at J.D. Vance. That J.D. Vance went to Yale. There was a speaker earlier that was like, as soon as J.D. Vance. Could he up and left Ohio and went to Yale? Well, that's where Yale, you have to leave Ohio to go to Yale. That's never, ever in the history of Democrat time been, like, embarrassing.
Yeah, that's what's so bizarro backwards about it, is this sounds like things that conservatives say, like, he went to Yale. But it's Democrats saying it. And it's also funny, it's like all the different, you know, things that they normally believe. But this time, who cares this time? Because we're just trying to win the White House, like the billionaires thing. You know,
well, as you guys know, I grew up in a very poor family. I was raised by a grandmother who didn't graduate from high school, much less from college. And I'm proud of the fact that she really worked her tail off, that she, you know, went to her grave fighting to give me opportunities. I'm not ashamed of the fact that my grandmother sacrificed for me and I was able to live the American dream. I'm proud of what I accomplished, and more importantly, I'm proud of all the people who sacrificed in order to give me a better life. I would think Tim Walz would want to praise people who sacrifice to give their children and grandchildren a better life, not put me down, but I guess this is the political order of the day. He's going to attack me, that's fine, but yeah. I'm proud of my family. I'm proud of what they sacrificed to make my life possible.
So J.D. Vance's story isn't a silver spoon story.
No, he worked his way up. The point is that he was in Ohio, and then he went off to an Ivy League school.
Look at this loser. He went to college, and then he got good, and then he went to Yale. What a dummy.
Yeah.
Hey, who is hearing that and going, I thought I liked Trump Vance, but I hate it when people go to school out of state.
It doesn't make any sense. And it really, to me, is more evidence to the fact that they hate Trump. They hate everything in Trump's orbit, and you could literally say anything, and they're like, that's right, which brings me back to Chuck Aron.
Yeah, like you could come up with an economic plan and go, you know what? We were wrong. I really do think communism probably is the way. Like, more handouts for everybody. They'd be like, what the heck is this commie yelling about now? What? We can't do that. This is America. We're capitalist.
It's just repeatedly these remarks going back to what we were talking about before, where J.B. Pritzker is like, the only thing that he's a billionaire in is stupidity. And it's like, oh. That hurt real bad. That's real painful. I wanted to play this for you guys. And, I hear this a certain way. You guys might hear it a little bit differently. When we were talking with Tyrus, he was talking about, like, it's good to be a white guy from the Midwest these days. It's pretty happy for you two. You guys feel seen?
Well, this is our moment. Yeah. I mean, we're not top of the ticket. You know, it's still the coastal elites that are having a bigger moment than us.
Yeah, but they're allowing you.
They're allowing us a
little bit of sunshine.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
I don't know.
Dana Bash wanted to highlight this moment, especially in the DNC convention.
But they are doing so in trying to put forward male figures, Tim Walz being one of them, Doug Emhoff last night, who can speak to men out there who might not be the sort of testosterone-laden, gun-toting kind of guy who wants to listen to Hulk Hogan and the kind of players that came out at the RNC, or might want to listen to that, but also, in addition, understand that it's okay in 2024 to be a man comfortable in his own skin who supports a woman. And that's something that they really are trying to work on with male voters beyond the base.
So you still feel seen? It's a big moment in time for men who have less testosterone. Yeah. And who want to allow the woman to be in the spotlight and to stand where they feel comfortable in the shadows, and they don't need to have guns and Hulk Hogan.
She sounded like she just kind of, let me add another sentence and another sentence and another one.
As she was saying it, she was hearing herself going,
uh-oh,
this isn't going well.
Uh-oh. You know what we should do? The problem is, she is hitting on some really key factors there. One of them being that if you like wrestlers aren't that smart. You know, we should probably ask Tyrus what he thinks about that. See if he has any political opinions on whether Dana Bash is right on CNN.
I mean, isn't what she's saying there is like the men of the DNC are less masculine men, and it's about time.
Actually, yes.
That's what she's saying.
She's 1,000%
She's trying
she
not to say that. That's what's so weird.
And she
can't do it.
Being successful at delivering that message without being like, look at all these betas.
Yeah. She's trying really hard to say, look, masculinity is in right now. The Democrats are embracing that, but not really, because they're not really masculine.
I'll see your camo hat, but we're going to put a chick's name on it.
Yeah.
And that's how you do it.
If you want to be masculine, you can still like think about masculinity, but when you support a woman, then you're not as masculine, is basically what she kind of got to at the end there.
I've seen more white men at this DNC be emotional. And Tim Walz and Doug Emhoff specifically. I have no problems with an emotional man, a man who's in tune with his feelings. I don't want to be around a man that's crying all the time because he's sad. I would want to help that man if I could. But, you know, a man who tears up, usually it's because of pride. It's proud. When your kid accomplishes something or there's a momentous occasion, like a father that gets a little teary-eyed walking his daughter down the aisle, like that's completely understandable. And, you know, I could see a situation where when Doug Emhoff is watching his wife, whom he loves, up there in this moment, that I can understand the emotion behind it. I don't understand Tim Walz's entrances to the stage. And I was praying that he would kick last night when he came out, but he didn't.
Uh-huh.
So they've gotten to him. And I think that it's a shame that they're trying to make him be somebody he isn't.
Me too. Yeah, because who he is somebody who loves cartwheeling onto the stage.
He's good enough exactly the way he is for the Republican Party.
That's what I said about Doug Emhoff, too.
Yeah.
I've been a big Doug Emhoff for long before he was into politics.
You've been a big Doug Emhoff?
Fan. Forgot to say fan. Forgot to say fan in that sentence. But now that he's into politics, I'm more of a conservative, and so I'm not as big of a fan. But he kind of is masculinity to me.
I do want to add in this part of this conversation on a more serious note that Gus Walz is Tim Walz's son. They showed him last night. Did you see the videos of this?
Only afterward. Yeah, I haven't seen it. I didn't see it live.
Tim is talking on the stage about IVF. Or fertility treatments, because he's once again told a story in a way that has political buzzwords in it that wasn't entirely true.
Oops.
And Walz's wife had to come out and say, well, we didn't do IVF, but we did do fertility treatments. Okay, whatever. None of it should matter because Donald Trump actively pursued getting southern states to make sure they protect IVF. And it actually happened because Donald Trump came in and spoke on the issue. With that being set aside, when Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, the vice presidential nominee on the Democrat side, came up and was talking about his family and IVF, he talked about his daughter, I've heard the story multiple times. His daughter's name is Hope because she was conceived through fertility treatments, whatever. His son was there, too. And when I was watching last night, I was watching it live, his son was overcome with emotion, was incredibly emotional, was pointing at his dad like, that's my dad, that's my dad. And it was a very quick Google search. And he's neurodivergent. He's got a nonverbal condition. He has ADHD, whatever. He has multiple conditions that potentially lend him in a social situation like that to react to it a little bit differently. And I was fighting with more Republicans on Twitter last night than I was Democrats. I just went and found this People article that explained it. And the Walz family calls his condition his superpower. And so I just quoted it and I was like, let's just leave Gus Walz out of this conversation. He's not the target. He doesn't need to be. And if you felt like it was, if the reaction that he had to his dad being on stage was obvious, immense pride and a lot of emotion, and he handled it the way he handled it, I just want to encourage everybody to understand the condition that Gus is in and just move on from that, because this is easy. Gus is not the target. There are plenty of things to talk about the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, and how detrimental he would be to the country. But it's not about his son, and it doesn't need to be about his son. And a lot of people going, a lot of people thought that I was like a lefty. And I'm like, well, no. Somebody took my Twitter profile picture and just copied it back to me and just said cringe. And I'm like, well, I'm voting for Donald Trump, but it's very nice to meet you. But like, do a little research before you start smacking people around, whatever. People were often repeating to me, like, now you know what it was like when they go after Barron Trump. And I'm like, that's not okay either.
That's the point you're making.
Because they've done this to Barron Trump before and you don't like it, we should do this. Like, that's just not the way I play. And I'm not going to not stand up for a kid that doesn't deserve that type of treatment, especially out of ignorance, because you don't know the circumstance that this kid is living with. So I'm putting it out there so that you know, because I understand if you didn't have that detail, you might react to it one way. But since you have that detail, hopefully go back to talking about Tim Walz's kicks on the stage, because he has put himself in the spotlight. So.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. We're going to answer the poll when we come back.
Okay.
Who wins the presidential election? You got to go on record, folks, on the Annie Fry YouTube channel right now. Just type Annie Fry, F-R-E-Y, into YouTube. You'll see our live broadcast come up. And in the live chat of today's live broadcast, you tell us who wins the presidential election, Harris Walz or Trump Vance. We'll talk about it when we come back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. So we got the question for you on our YouTube chat. We've got 325 votes already. You need to weigh in and let us know what you think and see where the results are so far. who wins the presidential election. No, we haven't heard Kamala Harris speak yet in full, her big speech at the DNC convention, but we've heard everybody else, and she's tonight. We've heard both sides make their case. Brad, you can go first. Who do you think wins this election?
I really think Trump and Vance win it. And I'm not sure how close it is, but I think that it has the potential of not even being close. I mean, it could be really close, but a few states swing one way. And
do you think he could win the popular vote?
Yeah, I think there's a possibility. I think that possibility is smaller now than it was when it was Biden. I thought he was almost definitely going to win when he was going against Biden. But I think that possibility has gotten smaller now. I think Kamala gives him a better shot.
What do you think?
I'm going with my original pick of Joe Biden. Biden Pence.
Shush.
I am going to pick Trump Vance.
All these people listening right now are like, these people are crazy.
I'm picking Trump Vance because and this is very much a feeling. I love going on numbers, but in this case, I'm just going to say I got a feeling that the enthusiasm for Harris is manufactured. I just don't think.
How manufactured?
Like almost 100%. It's Democrats are excited about it again because they think, oh, maybe, because they didn't think they had a chance. So Democrats are excited, but Democrats are the media. Democrats are a lot of these institutions that push this stuff. So they're pushing it. And the DNC this week has really shown that they're really good at doing that. But they've also shown that they're not really doing anything else. And that is starting to show through after about 3-4 weeks of this.
It feels like a total house of cards because you hear people saying this type of nonsense. Last night, this was the she's the attorney general of Michigan, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that right? And she's speaking up there.
By the way, I got a message for the Republicans and the justices of the United States Supreme Court. You can pry this wedding band from my cold, dead, gay hand.
Okay. Should we pray for her? Is she sick?
I hope she's not dying.
It sounds like it.
And then there's grave robbers. Like, there's a lot going on.
Yeah. Theft times are tough.
No kidding.
Nobody is going after gay marriage. It is done. It is passed. Marry who you love. That is the law of the land. Nobody's
Republicans
asking the question.
Republicans haven't mentioned this. Nobody in Republican media, which we happen to be in, ever talks about this.
No.
It's not an issue. It's done. It's passed. 2015.
Are they really scared about that? I think there's a two-part thing at play here, which is, and I don't know which one she falls into. There are the people that are constantly stoking fear and they want to give you things to be super afraid about, but they know that it's bologna sausage. And then there are people who are really afraid about it. And they do feel like there is a real danger ahead that if you're married to somebody of the same sex, that if Donald Trump has never not one single freaking time said that he wants to end same-sex marriage. Never! He's actually been very supportive of people in his circle. He's put people, he had the first homosexual cabinet member in, I think it was Richard Grenell. Mm-hmm. Nobody talked about that. That's like the accomplishment of the Biden administration, is that they have a super diverse cabinet. And, you know, gosh darn it, Donald Trump scooped him on having a gay person in there. And it wasn't a big story because the left didn't want to make it a big story, but also because of his qualifications to the new job. One of the qualifications wasn't like, we need a gay guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was like, this guy's good for the job.
Have the job.
Yeah, right.
And in the Biden situation, it's not the, you can't say the same thing about that.
No, that's the reason to hire somebody.
And to brag about it.
Yeah.
You know, like if you asked him what his legacy is, in his speeches, in the one he delivered so long ago at this DNC convention that people don't even remember it. He probably doesn't either. That he talks about how, you know, his administration reflects America. Well, are they good at their jobs? I mean, is that the priority? Because it could look really diverse. And it could be great, but it doesn't feel great right now.
When you ask people, why are they voting for Kamala Harris? Well, she's a woman, and she's a woman of color.
It's about time we had a woman of color in the office. And I'm like, that one?
Really? That's your go-to answer,
yeah,
to?
Yeah, I just don't... Mm. Who wins the presidential election, Harris or Walz? They both say Trump and Vance. What do you say? Go vote. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. So we got the question for you on our YouTube chat. We've got 325 votes already. You need to weigh in and let us know what you think and see where the results are so far. Who wins the presidential election? No, we haven't heard Kamala Harris speak yet in full, her big speech at the DNC convention. But we've heard everybody else, and she's tonight. We've heard both sides make their case. Brad, you can go first. Who do you think wins this election?
I really think Trump and Vance win it. And I'm not sure how close it is, but I think that it has the potential of not even being close. I mean, it could be really close, but a few states swing one way. And
do you think he could win the popular vote?
Yeah, I think there's a possibility. I think that possibility is smaller now than it was when it was Biden. I thought he was almost definitely going to win when he was going against Biden, but I think that possibility has gotten smaller now. I think Kamala gives him a better shot.
What do you think?
I'm going with my original pick of Joe Biden, Biden Pence.
Shush.
I am going to pick Trump Vance.
All these people listening right now are like, these people are crazy.
I'm picking Trump Vance because and this is very much a feeling. I love going on numbers, but in this case, I'm just going to say I got a feeling that the enthusiasm for Harris is manufactured. I just don't think...
How manufactured?
Like almost 100%. It's Democrats are excited about it again because they think, oh, maybe. Because they didn't think they had a chance. So Democrats are excited, but Democrats are the media. Democrats are a lot of these institutions that push this stuff. So they're pushing it, pushing it, pushing it. And the DNC this week has really shown that they're really good at doing that. But they've also shown that they're not really doing anything else. And that is starting to show through after about 3-4 weeks of this.
It feels like a total house of cards. Because you hear people saying this type of nonsense. Last night, this was the... she's the Attorney General of Michigan, I think?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that right? And she's speaking up there.
By the way, I got a message for the Republicans and the justices of the United States Supreme Court. You can pry this wedding band from my cold, dead, gay hand.
Okay. Should we pray for her? Is she sick?
I hope she's not dying.
It sounds like it.
And then there's grave robbers. Like, there's a lot going on.
Yeah. Theft times are tough.
No kidding.
Nobody is going after gay marriage. It is done. It is passed. Marry who you love. That is the law of the land. Nobody's
Republicans
asking the question.
Republicans haven't mentioned this. Nobody in Republican media, which we happen to be in, ever talks about this.
No.
It's not an issue. It's done. It's passed. 2015.
Are they really scared about that? I think that there is a... I think there's a two-part thing at play here, which is, and I don't know which one she falls into. There are the people that are constantly stoking fear and they want to give you things to be super afraid about. But they know that it's bologna sausage. And then there are people who are really afraid about it. And they do feel like there is a real danger ahead that if you're married to somebody of the same sex, that if Donald Trump has never not one single freaking time said that he wants to end same-sex marriage. Never! He's actually been very supportive of people in his circle. He's put people, they had the first homosexual cabinet member in, I think it was Richard Grenell. Mm-hmm. Nobody talked about that. That's like the accomplishment of the Biden administration, is that they have a super diverse cabinet. And, you know, gosh darn it, Donald Trump scooped him on having a gay person in there. And it wasn't a big story because the left didn't want to make it a big story, but also because of his qualifications to do the job. One of the qualifications wasn't like, we need a gay guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was like, this guy's good for the job.
Make him have the job.
Yeah, right.
And in the Biden situation, it's not the, you can't say the same thing about that.
No, that's the reason to hire somebody.
And to brag about it.
Yeah.
You know, like if you asked him what his legacy is, in his speeches, in the one he delivered so long ago at this DNC convention that people don't even remember it, he probably doesn't either, that he talks about how, you know, his administration reflects America. Well, are they good at their jobs? I mean, is that the priority? Because it could look really diverse. And it could be great, but it doesn't feel great right now.
When you ask people, why are they voting for Kamala Harris? Well, she's a woman, and she's a woman of color.
It's about time we had a woman of color in the office. And I'm like, that one?
Really? That's your go-to answer,
yeah.
too?
Yeah, I just don't. Mm. Who wins the presidential election, Harris or Walz? They both say Trump in advance. What do you say? Go vote.